If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS connects you with podcasts, videos, and live experiences about the artists and topics you love. Visit OSIRISPOD.com to check out our shows. In fact, you should check out No Simple Road or Inside Out with Turner and Seth. Both are great shows. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. For more, check them out at jambase.com. The show starts now.
Well, I've always been a runner from town to town, trailing that sunrise, drugged up and down, trying to find a rainstorm in a valley, looking for a good way to keep on smiling. I'm looking for a change of pace, then I'll be on my way. Let's start a movement without a purpose for a change of pace. A bookie to buy a house out in the mountains. I aim for a hillside of the Ozarks, a place to bunker down where I can find the moonshine bright. I'm looking for a change of pace, then I'll be on my way. Let's start a movement without a purpose, a change of pace. Yeah, I've been searching circus, getting high with the faithful and the reckless. Now I'm off to Holland and Australia, getting back to running hard, cause I don't wanna fail this part. I'm looking for change of pace, then I'll be on my way. Let's start a movement without a purpose, a change of pace. I got the kids, decent neighbors, that's all it is. It ain't the money, the property. Seem like everywhere I go, I'm trying to change the things I know. I'm looking for a change of pace, then I'll be on my way. Let's start a movement without a purpose. Change of pace.
You've been listening to Change of Pace, the title track from Andy Frasco and the UN's latest release. For the unaware, Frasco is a lifetime music industry type who began as a promoter and talent booker in LA at the tender age of 16. Through a series of circumstances, Frasco decided to try his own hand at being a performer, and in 2014 released his first record, Half a Man. Some 5 years later, this latest record sees Frasco pour out a cathartic series of well-written songs at a time when the serial party boy needed a literal change of pace, both personally and indeed professionally. As you'll soon hear, this podcaster, performer, and pontificator is as real as they come, and Change of Pace will be your favorite record this year. It's mine already. When we sat down to chat with Frasco, he was chilling, whatever that means in his world, after a hectic tour, awaiting the next chapter, which begins in a week's time. Our conversation started when I suggested that Dave Schools, who produced several tracks on this album, was responsible for changing the trajectory of Frasco's outlook, music, and indeed life.
Yeah, Dave was basically sat me down saying, you want to be a party, you want to have this image of just being a party boy entertainer your whole life, or do you want to start taking it seriously, write some songs, you know, don't change your set, you know, still do some, be wild, that wild man, but also have some peaks and valleys in your set that, you know, really move people. You know, it's like, that was the first time seeing Widespread Panic. I've never seen Widespread. It was the first time last week, and to see the peaks and the, you know, the, and the valleys of a set, it was really inspiring. And it just turned my vision or my train of thought, because I was always just trying to be a hype man and be like, help build the glue between the fans and the audience without thinking about the songs. So now that I'm thinking of songs and stuff, it's really helped my growth, I think, this year.
It seemed to me from the early records that you could really, with your bandmates, start any kind of song and develop lyrics on the fly. But this record really does, you know, compartmentalize a lot of stuff and a lot of feelings and a lot of shit that you probably had to get off your chest, whether it's relationships or just, you know, making that quote unquote change of pace. There's a lot of stuff that you had to get out on this record, right?
Yeah. And you know, it's like I've been living in a van for 11 months a year for 250 shows a year for the last 13 years. It's like, all I know is the live show. And you know, and when you take a step back and what you want to be remembered by, you know, you got to start writing songs and not just writing like quirky fucking choruses like Blame It on the Pussy and Mature as Fuck, you know, like,
yeah
I really had to, you know. So it's like, it was fun for the moment, and those songs, you know, it's like, if you listen to those lyrics, I mean, they're not just all straight tongue-in-cheek. It's like, it's about just living the life you want to live, and that's always been my theme throughout my life, even when I was a kid, and to like, when I had this really bad anxiety attack last year. I was like on like a 22-day bender on coke, and was having one night stand after one night stand, and I was just feeling I was just really just kind of just in this state of self-destruction, you know.
Right.
And it just, I woke up one day and I was done with it. And it's amazing when that shit happens, all those people in your life that start showing up out of the woodwork that is like, all right, we got your back. You know, you think like you're going to have to do it alone, you know, because especially when I put this tag on me as just this guy who throws a party.
Right.
You know, I didn't want that to be my life story. God forbid I died young, you know, and I couldn't, you know, I don't want to be remembered as just the guy who could, you know, take a bunch of mushrooms and drink a bottle of Jameson every night. You know, it's like, just, I don't want that. I want that to be, you know,
that's not your legacy, right?
I want it, I don't want to do on legacy, you know. And I'm more than that, and I want to build relationships with the scene and stuff, and that's why I started this podcast.
Right. We'll get to the podcast in a second and the scene, but I want to dig a little bit deeper, just on a couple of lines, and you know, things like, I want to get to know my demons. I want them to get to know me. Find a way to be you. Find a way to see truth. I mean, this is all cathartic shit. I mean, this is stuff that you need to figure out, and you're figuring it out with us. It's not like you're figuring it out in a shrink's office, or, you know, just sitting across from Dave Schools. This is stuff that you're trying to figure out with everybody, and I think everybody's trying to figure it out with you. I mean, we're all trying to figure that shit out, right?
No, totally. You know, it's like we suppress our feelings so much just to get by to our day-to-day life, you know, to follow the sheep or to follow, that we suppress how we really feel about things and what we really want to do, you know, and how we're going to grow. You know, those demons will always be there unless you confront them. You know, that was one thing that helped me out. I was microdosing mushrooms for about a year straight when I was going through this suppression. And it just, like, when I had these bad thoughts about my childhood, it popped right up and said, all right, let's face this. And I basically kind of, like, I felt like a crazy person because I was like talking to myself through this whole thing, but it got me through it. I mean, it's like, it was a truce. Like, listen, I'm always going to have these flaws in me. You know, maybe it's, you know, substance abuse or whatever it was, but it doesn't have to rule your life, you know, make a truce.
Right. Anybody can have these thoughts, right? And anybody can even write them down. But to be able to have these thoughts, write them down, and put a melody to them or put instrumentation to them, that's like a totally different sort of thing. Is that something that sort of comes natural to you, or is it something that you need to work on all the time with the band or with producers or whatever?
Well, like, I write these songs, I'll write the choruses, like, I do a lot, before I was doing, like, band stuff, I was writing these blogs, these self-help blogs for a bunch of people, and a bunch of magazines, and whatnot, and, you know, just learning how to incorporate how I'm writing in my blog to, you know, a song structure. You know, it's like, I had to learn how to sing, and that was, like, that's the most difficult thing, you know, for me to, like, is to think about these different melodies through the words you want to say, you know, that are catchy or whatnot. Like I said, I'm a bare bone songwriter. I love Damien Rice's of the world and John Craigie's of the world, you know, and how these guys tell stories through the lyrics is something I'm really trying to dive into without just having, you know, just writing a, you know, 300-word essay.
they say on your bio and, you know, in other places, it's blues rock, but that's so lazy, right? It's bullshit. And lazy writers and even lazier record execs trying to pigeonhole you. I mean, and God forbid I should call a record exec lazy, but seriously, like, I don't.
Well, you know what it is. They don't know how to market.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to market something like me, where I'm like you said, I'm playing all these different fields, and I'm like, I really dedicated my craft to live performance for the first 13 years of my life. So I'm like, I haven't really categorized the sound. I could kind of like go in and out of all these different areas. I could be part of the jam scene. I could be part of like the cougar rock and shit, and like, you know, like all these different genres.
Yeah.
And party blues was something that just like kind of like they stuck with me, and then like people, it kind of scares people from coming out because they don't want to listen to blues anymore,
right?
Which is kind of sad because I love blues, but they, you know, so it's like it's hard to market me, I think, because seeing me live and hearing my records are two different beasts, and I finally come to accept that. That's why, you know, it's like I stopped worrying about writing a song because it has a cool groove that I could play for that played in the middle of the set, you know, or like a flow of the set. You know, it's like right. It was really important to me just to write songs for the meetings.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you had Orman on from Pigeons, and you know, one of the things he said was that you just got to be authentic. You got to be your authentic self and just give it whatever it is, and who cares what the labels are? Like, it doesn't really matter if you're a funk band or a ska band or a blues rock band. People will find you and enjoy whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, and that's the beauty about this live music scene too. You know,
yeah.
We could be whoever we want.
Right.
You know, it's like when we get categorized into these Taste magazines of the world and these Rolling Stones of the world. You know, like who mm-hmm. have these like certain niches. I see that in the jam scene as well, and how these guys get pigeonholed into the jam scene when maybe their music isn't that jammy. Maybe it's funky. Maybe they added a singer. Maybe they changed it up. And like,
right. It's
so hard to get out of those names. Like, you know, my concert band right now is like, oh, he's just a good entertainer. I'm like, no, I'm a good songwriter too. It's like, oh, he's just, you know, he's just a niche, you know, or he's a good gimmick. Like, I mean, I'm just, it's, you know, it's hard to get out of those titles.
Yeah.
Once it's tagged.
I'm glad you mentioned the jam band scene, because you are, without being, you're a band, you and the UN are certainly a band that jams, but you're jam band scene adjacent. You're like the class clown, sort of in a serious set of circumstances. And that isn't to take away anything from the performance, but, you know, Fishheads, Deadheads, The Flock, they all take their shit very serious. They're writing set lists down. They're going from town to town.
Yeah.
And you're not that guy, and your fans aren't those people. You're an entertainer, right? I mean, you're a songwriter, and that's certainly the case, but you're not like, there are no UN heads.
I'm not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, people are taking this fucking music thing way too seriously sometimes.
Right.
And like, when it comes down to it, it's all we're doing is entertaining people. If we're entertaining people through the words we're saying, through the voices we're using, through the guitar melodies we're playing, at the end of the day, music was supposed to get people out of the seriousness of life.
Right.
And like, to put it back in it seems scary to me, because you know, I don't want to go and, you know, have to worry about what songs, you know, the band played. I'm like, I'm not really living in the moment. I'm like, I'm worried. I'm like writing set lists, or, you know, if I'm thinking as a fan, I'm writing a set list down. I'm not really being present.
Right.
And you're just like showing other people that you're at the show and whatnot. And I mean, I'm not like trying to like disrespect communities. I think it's great that, you know, changing, but like, my goal is to get people present. You know, if I could get people present for 2 to 3 hours a day, that's why I'm on this earth, you know, to get people off their phones, to get people just to fully enjoy a moment, you know, call it a shtick or call it entertainment or entertainer. It's just, I know what I am gifted. You know, I'm not the greatest fucking shredder guitar player or, you know, singer or whatnot. I know what I could bring to a band, and I know what I need to work on to start getting the respect from these jam communities, you know, and I'm slowly, you know, it's like, I read all the Flock communities and the Umphreys communities, and, you know, it's less and less shit talk now about me, which is kind of nice. You know, it's like, oh, this fucking guy, dude, fucking clown school. So I'm like, oh, listen to his record. It's actually good. I'm like,
Thanks. Yeah, right. You know, there's a line in Don't Let the Haters Get You Down, online trolls talking shit from their parents' basements. Well, you know, whether it's their parents' basements or their Westphalia, I mean, it's the truth, right? I mean, these are just people who aren't doing it. They're pretend, like they are, they're in the crowd. They're not the ones playing the instruments on stage or writing the songs or being on the road for 220 days a year.
Yeah. Or have, like, I'm hanging out with the Pigeons guys and seeing them fucking stress out about a set list for 4 hours.
Right.
That shit's crazy, dude. Like, that shit's crazy. Like, kudos to them for fucking dedicating to the people who, you know, always are looking for a new thing. But, like, what if you have to promote a new record?
Right.
You know? And you have to play these new songs. And, you know, like, you're kind of, I feel like it's, you know, sometimes, okay, I'm going to have to play these new songs multiple times in the city because I'm promoting a new record. And I think the jam scene is not too worried about records.
Right.
Right? They're more worried about the live show experience.
Right.
Do you think this is why we get pigeonholed? Because we're not so focused on the record itself? Or do you think it's just what we have to do. This is what scene we're in.
This is just who you guys are. And I don't accept it. Like, we've had everybody on this show and you've had everybody on your show. And our goal here isn't to let people know what they should be listening to or even necessarily what I think they should be listening to. It's like, make your own decisions, man. Like, you know, enjoy whatever it is you enjoy. And if people get off on seeing Andy Frasco in the UN and then catching a Widespread Panic show or Joe Russo's Almost Dead show, like, that's fine. Like, it's 2019 and we have access to, like, everything. So why do we have to sort of compartmentalize ourselves, right?
And why do we have to just pick one band? You know how, like, a lot of these communities, like, oh, nope, Humphreys is my band. Nope, Pigeons is my band. You know, like you said, it's 2019. Let's all join together. This is how we're going to keep this scene alive. You know, it's like we all have to, like, work together, community-based, and support each other's bands instead of talking shit about others because they just don't get it.
The tribe thing is actually kind of scary because it's kind of what's wrecked your country anyway, the tribe thing. And that's a...
Oh, yeah, you're from Canada, right?
Yeah, man. So, you know, I kind of laugh at the tribe thing because I don't think people even realize that that's what's going on down there, is that it's these, you know... Populism is tribes, man. That's, you know, or people railing against the tribes in their own tribe, whatever. But we got to stick together more than we got to.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm saying. And this is why we do these podcasts, to show people that we're all the same people.
Right.
You know, that's the main reason why I did this podcast, to let people know that we're all fighting the same fucking fight. You know, we're all trying to give the best performances we can in each market. We're trying to make people happy. We're trying to fulfill their lives for the 2 or 3 hours we get with them once a year or twice a year, or if you follow us, you know, 5 times a year. You know?
Uh-huh.
It's just, we do need to stick together on this thing. This is why, like, having allies at the, like, Pigeons, like, Greg is, he hits me up, text messages me, hey, bud, what are you doing, thinking about you, you know, these guys, we're all looking for you, after each other, because mental health is important, like, if the artist is going through some shit, we need everyone to have their back. Maybe they didn't have the greatest show, don't fucking go on the internet, like, oh, fuck, they played fucking Tweezer Reprise 3 times now, the tour, fucking bullshit, you know, like, maybe they just love playing that too. It's just, oh, man. You don't want to hug these guys. You have to really just, like, you know, it's like, now people who are, we're starting to have people follow our show now. And, like, it scares the shit out of me, dude.
Why?
Fuck, here we go.
Because
I'm always worried about how everyone's feeling in the crowd. If I know that there's, like, a handful of people who've been there 3 times, that's all I'm thinking about. And all I am thinking about is accommodating those 3 or 4 or 5, 6 people who showed up, not the other 340 people who are only going to see me once a year.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like it's tough. to accommodate everybody, because the people who are actually going to talk on those internets and those social groups are the guys who are coming out five times a year, not the one who's coming once a year, you know, or once every other year.
Just do you, man. Like, seriously, like, who cares? Like, seriously, it's not about them.
I'm so worried.
It's not about them. It's about you, and it's about the 340 that are coming out for the first time. And it's about the show. I mean, the feedback I got from your shows, both in Boston and New York, were, why am I late to this thing? Like, I can't believe I'm so late to this thing. And you've only been doing it for, like, what, 6 or 7 years? Hardcore. And people are like, "What? Where have I been? Why am I late to this thing?" Because it's just a good time. And maybe we need that. Maybe we just need, or people need, I mean, people just need a good time. And so I wouldn't worry about like the five or six. I'd worry about playing to the crowd, man, or playing for yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
Totally.
You're right. Yeah, you're totally right. I just, you know, it's like, I want to just give everyone a full experience. You know, even the people who've seen me 20 times, you know, I want them to still come out of the show and say, oh, you know, he's not a one-trick pony. That's really important to me.
But it's the things that you do in between songs. It's the things that you do after the show or before the show or whatever. That's the difference maker, not the set list. Like, that's you know what? Play your songs, man, and play them because they're important to you and because you have a message to get across and whatever. The one thing that I am going to say is that the live show, at least from the outside, looks to be so different from what you put down in 3.5 minutes on tape. And so how do you deal with that? I mean, that's the bigger problem, I think, probably.
You know, I think, now that I have people coming out just to hear these 3.5 minute songs,
right,
that I could play all of them now.
Right.
At first, I only could play like 6 or 7 songs, but I still had to fill 3 hours of music because I'm playing at fucking Kansas State at $2 U College, you know, where I'm the house band for 4 hours. So we're like, well, boys, we're doing 35-minute version of this song. So, you know, it's like I grew up playing those. Like, I cold called 2,000 venues and stuff, and, you know, I booked myself. Like, I used to be a booking agent, and the only gigs I could do was like four, you know, fine, were those state colleges on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when no one gives a shit.
Payback's
you have
a
to
bitch,
make
right?
sure they give a shit.
Payback's a bitch.
Karm, I'm telling you. Oh, you fucking said it right, brother. it's so true. Like, it's karma for, you know, for all those times. Now it's coming back in full circle. Now I can play 20 songs of my own and not do like half songs covers, you know?
Do you ever call the guys and hello goodbye and say, hey man, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that we ever gave you a hard time or any of the bands.
Oh my
booked.
God. Oh fuck yeah. When I don't get paid one night on a Tuesday night, or I drove 10 hours to make, you know, $120. Oh yeah, I've hugged many bands,
right,
and apologized to them on the road, you know. I remember one time I paid this guy Steel Train, this band called Steel Train.
Yeah.
He's now in Fun. Yeah, that band Fun is huge right now, and he's
right.
a producer and stuff. And I remember I almost getting a fight with him, and I was 15 or 16, over $100, you know, paying him $100. And yeah, now he's a multi-millionaire and writes all these hit songs. I'm like, oh, you know, I can't wait to have my moment with him where I'm like, listen, bro, I'm sorry for being a dick. I'm looking forward to that day.
The touring continues for you, right? I mean, this is you're on the road. There's a bit of a break now, but like from the beginning of April till festival season, it's non-stop.
Yeah, you normally. Well, it's been crazy. We just this CD release tour. I just got off. Every show's been sold out mostly, which is fucking insane. We've never done that before ever, and now. We're going now. We got on all the festivals. Like, it's just crazy. We got a big agent now. I just like. I wish we didn't get popular. I wish we got popular when I was less tired.
Yeah, well, you were less tired because you were abusing the shit out of your body, dude.
Oh, I know. That's why I had to stop taking the blow and, like, not just, like, figuring out a way to, like, meditate so I could, you know, sleep. Because you're still, I mean, like, got rid of the blow, yes, but I'm still drinking.
Right.
Till 4 a.m. every night.
Yeah.
And then I'm driving in a van 8 hours, you know? And then I can't sleep during the day because I'm confirming shows and marketing shows that are 2 months ahead of time and working on a podcast. I just don't have time, so I got to figure out a way to get my body rest so I can make it through this. Because normally it was like Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, no problem. Fucking 50 people show up, you know, not like sold out on a Tuesday and everyone wants to fucking rage with you and like you're, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it's like I'm like people, you know, people consider me like their best friend, you know, because I'm giving them such good times. So I'm not trying to be you know, a narcissist or anything, but like, you know, like what, you know, I show up and they have a great time with us, so they just want to continue that feeling, you know. And I'm not a guy who's just going to sit in the fucking dressing room or in the van. I'm going to go hang out with my people. I'm like the Bernie Sanders of the jam scene. Let's go, you know.
I'm more hair.
Yeah. Got more hair. A little less cream cheese on my bagel too.
I thank you for the music. I thank you for dealing with your shit so that we're going to have you for a lot longer. I think that's the most important thing. And I thank you for the podcast because it does give, you know, somebody on the outside who, you know, is a little bit on the inside, but still on the outside, a different perspective. Thanks,
you
man.
Know, and I thank you, man, because you know, a lot of people aren't letting these jam bands be heard. And it's really important that these guys get a voice. I know they're not on AAA radios of the world. And you are actually giving these guys an outlet to speak their mind. And, you know, it's like from one interviewer to another, I salute you, my man. It means a lot.
Frasco is incredible. His stories, his music, his legendary performances, and indeed lifestyle are the stuff of true rock star. I suspect that Frasco will continue to party, but take it down a few notches, which comparatively will still be high-end. But don't let the exterior fool you. This kid can write songs, meaningful ones, and is a very deep thinker who will hopefully be around for quite some time. For more on Andy Frasco and the UN, visit andyfrasco.com, where you can also check out his really great podcast. Before we leave you, have a listen to another track off of Change of Pace. Here is Waiting Game.
I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be lonely. Love is a waiting game. Wake up from your cell phone. Breathe in the world today. Wake up with a smile. You never know. Tell your mama about.
lonely. I don't want to be lonely. Love is a waiting game.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.